Alright, we're in the book of Micah, chapter 1 still. We stopped at verse 9. So let's begin at verse number 10. Micah, chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read verses 10, 11, and 12 together. Declare ye not at Gath, weep ye not at all, in the house of Acra, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Safer, having a shame naked. The inhabitant of Zanan came not forth in the morning of Bezel. Thus witness us that he shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Merah waiteth carefully for good, but void will come upon from the end of the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. Alright, this is written by Micah, who is writing to Judah, but also he's writing sometimes to Israel, and throughout the 10 tribe kingdom in the north. Remember in verse number 9, we closed last Thursday by saying, for her wound is incurable. What would that mean? Her wound is incurable. What is it?
Die.
Well, possibly, and there's just no cure for it. Just like sometimes the cancer goes on and on and on, and finally, no cure for that. It's come out of Judah and came to the gate of the temple, even Jerusalem. So the very capital of Jerusalem was diseased and incurable. And then what are they not to do with this fate of the wound being incurable there in verse 10?
Don't tell
it that. Don't talk about it. Gath, that we're in the land of the Philistines. And weeping not at all. The house of Acra, roll thyself in the dust. What would that mean? What would that indicate?
Morning.
All right, morning.
Repentance.
Sin. That's right. If you have any comments or questions, please give us an email. Questions at dftbc.org or call us at 856-261-9018. So roll myself in the dust. I put dust on the heads and put sackcloth on in time of mourning and the grief. And so that's what I believe
usually is it sackcloth and ashes?
Sackcloth and ashes, yes.
So that instead of ashes, I would use the dust?
Possibly. And sort of, now, do people sometimes roll in the dust? Today. And who are they?
They're on fire, they might.
On the fifth and fire. Who else?
Just stopped rubbing the
old. Yeah. Children. Stop that wrong. Oh, Anna?
We were discussing a dog because my mom and I were driving today and we saw this dog sitting in the mud. The owner was standing outside. I suppose he was getting impatient.
Getting impatient. Sorry. But who else? Anyone else roll, if not the dust, on the floor?
On the
shoulder. Yes. Who else? Any religions practice rolling? On the
floor?
Holy rollers, they're called. We don't agree with that, but they say to the Spirit of the Father, they just roll around and get on the floor. And but this is rolling us out of dust for mourning and grief. And pass you away, thou have a safer, having thy shame naked. Shame, what does that mean?
Something
wrong. Now, if the shame is naked, what would that imply?
That they could see.
Could see it. They're open. See, so it's very visible, the shame. Are people today sometimes not ashamed? They can be shameless. Sometimes they act in a shameless manner. And
yes.
The way they talk, the way they dress, the way where they go, the places they do, things they do. And so that shame being naked, they're exposed. And the inhabitants of Zanan come forth in the morning. That morning, you spell O-M-O-U-R-N, and the sorrow, the thistle. To receive of you in his standing. And so yes, ma'am.
Didn't Job put dust on himself and stuff?
Yes, Tammy. I think he did.
Where's Zanan?
Pardon me?
Where is Zanan?
I don't know where that is in heaven. These are all portions probably in the area of Jerusalem, since he was writing to Jerusalem, Judah. The details in the cities are not always, at least not on this map, it's just some in the area of Jerusalem.
Is this Jerusalem or this? Samaria.
Well, I think he's talking to Jerusalem, verse number 9, especially, that her shame is incurable. See, so, but he's writing to Judah, but a lot of times he talks about Israel, the 10 tribes. Like last Thursday, we had some of those things in the first part of this, in verse number 6. I will make Samaria as a heap of the fields. See, so Samaria gets to Joanne.
Well, when we talk about the shame today, I think that one of the things that we should bring up is like, these women today have absolutely no shame in declaring the fact that they commit adultery.
That's true.
Like with this golf person. I mean, the women that came forward,
How many do you 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, well, something.
They came back, of course, they knew he was married.
Yes.
But yet they flaunted their adultery.
Yes. As
though it was nothing wrong.
I mean,
the women today, they should be ashamed of themselves
for
doing that. Not so much the men. I mean, these women knew that he was married, yet committed adultery with absolutely no thought about it.
Exactly.
And bragging about it.
That's why we mentioned in our dissertation, in our talk, in our tapes, Mrs. Gail Rippinger, who's shameless of her. She had 3 different husbands, keeping it quiet. And she's Christian, and the Lord says very clearly, you marry while your husband's still living, you commit adultery, and she shall be called an adulteress. But shamelessness, of course, when that's exposed, then she's very irate as the ones that exposed her, namely Mrs. Wade.
She probably was ashamed, that's why she didn't tell people.
Well, she would have done it. So, but you're right, there's a shamelessness about adultery, just open and it's really bad.
I mean, they don't even hide it. I mean, you know, if you did something like that, you should be ashamed, not to tell the whole world about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. The woman taken in adultery in John 7:53-8:11, which some of the new versions have omitted and taken out, but he forgave the woman, but the men brought her and said she was taken the very act, and the scripture says the Old Testament stoned her to death. What do you say? Well, Anna?
If she was taken in the very act, where was the man?
Exactly. So one of the men must have been right there, probably. So there was collusion. So, so the Lord said this. He said, go ahead, you who is without sin, cast the first stone. First cast the stone at her. Of course, the men knew that they were not without sin, so they left, beginning the eldest, one at a time, and left the woman and the Lord were right there. And he asked the woman, "Hath no man accused thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more." See? So in other words, he forgave her, but that's the end of the line. Repentance and change of life. So they should have this repentance, but they just go on and on and on. There seemed to be no shame in many areas. It's unfortunate. Did we read the... Where did we stop at?
We stopped at verse 12.
Okay, we had 10, 11, and 12 at the Gate of Jerusalem. So, for the inhabitant of the Zane, I don't know exactly where they're standing, but came forth probably in the area, and also Bethesda was one of the towns there.
No,
Maris.
Pardon
me?
Maris, or Maris, or Harris.
Maris.
Yeah, Maris. That's another one.
Another one, and got Bethesda, was that these
different
ones? Was it? And Lakish as well. So, these are towns in the area of Judah, probably Jerusalem.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
The lake is the more, you know. But notice in verse number 12, the inhabitants waited carefully for good. Well, what happened in verse 12?
Evil came down.
Evil from whom? From the Lord. Now, in what sense and why did evil come down from the Lord?
It seemed evil to them to have something happen to them.
All right, but why do you think evil came down from the Lord? What was the Lord doing to the people?
Judging.
He was judging. See, in other words, it's not that the Lord is evil, but judgment to them looked evil from their standpoint. And under the gate of Jerusalem, right to the gate. Now, what happened at the gate of every city in those early days?
Court.
It's where the judges sat.
Town elders, the ones in charge of the city. So judgment came down unto the gate of Jerusalem. So they were wrong in what they did. Let's read 13 down to the end if we can. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Marsh-Gath, the house of Zachzeb shall be a lie of the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Marishah. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bald and fold thee for thy delicate children, and large thy baldness as the evil, for as they are gone into captivity from thee. 13, the habit there of Lachish. Strange word. The Cave of Adullam. Remember, there's an Adullam Films. That's the name of the Adullam Films that had that light in the darkness.
Oh, the Cave of Adullam again. What was that?
That's where.
A lamp of the dark.
The lamp of the dark, yes. What did I say?
Light.
Oh, light and lamp. Yeah, light and lamp. Mrs. Rippinger hates that one, too. She's got that in her 61 pages. And she thinks it's horrible, sort of reformed or whatever.
What was that one?
That's where David hid in the cave, I think, in the door. And Saul was trying to kill him, and so he hid in the door.
Here it also says, he shall come into a duel of the glory of Israel.
So the inhabitants of the lake is in verse number 13, bind the chariot to the swift beast. What are beasts doing as far as chariots?
Pulling it.
What is it?
Pulling it.
Pulling the chariots. And so bind it and tie it up so that they can pull this chariot.
And they want a fast one.
Yes, was it?
They want a fast one.
A fast one.
Well, there was sort of beast it was.
Well, probably horse or maybe a mule. Was it?
Camel?
Could be camels, but probably horse and mule.
I don't think camels pull chariots.
Yeah, probably difficult. Good in the harvest. But she's the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. Lachish is the beginning of the sin. Sin always has a beginning. And that's what it should be.
So that's the she, the city?
Probably the city.
Okay.
Lachish probably the city. Beginning, in other words, it started with Lachish and moved on to the daughter of Zion. So sin is contagious and it moves on and does not, it spreads.
And the daughter of Zion, is that Jerusalem?
Probably Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, because Mount Zion is in Jerusalem, the city of David, a high place in Jerusalem. It was called David's city, the city of Mount Zion. Now, notice 4 in verse 13. In what sense is that word 4?
Because
the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. And that's where sin began, because the transgression. What is the transgression again?
Sin.
It's the word for sin. But it was the trans, it's a cross. Really, you have to step across. In other words, you know what is there, and you purposely cross it. Transgression. Sin, we can't help it. We're sinners because we were born to sin. But the transgression of Israel were found in me. That's then 14. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresheth Gath. Now Gath, probably another city, just like Gath was in the Philistine area. Philistines were in this island by the Mediterranean Sea, rather. This whole idea is Philistia right in here. And Gath and Arad and Gebal and Sidon and Tyre are right in that area. So this is the ending in Gath, and so it's one of the Philistine cities. The house of Achzib, probably one of the kings of Gath, shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. In what sense could somebody be a lie to someone else?
Maybe they were set up to do something, one thing, and they did another.
Possibly. Maybe it's related to the presence. The yes.
What does that mean, the house of Achzib? Is that a family?
Possibly. Maybe the ones that live in that city. Or actually, if he's a person, the king, the house of Achzib could be a city.
Oh. Would it be that they're leading them into sin?
Could be. It may have something to do with the presence in verse 14, the first part. Shalt thou give presents, and it be a lie. Maybe the presents were not genuine presents, so it's a lying type of thing.
Could have been
a
bad
presents. Maybe
a bad,
but that's another possibility.
Instead of good gifts, it was, you know, bad gifts.
Yes.
Sometimes there's a real good organization establishes a house, and people mm-hmm. know that's the House of Mercy or something. Where, mm-hmm. And then in time, it changes. That might become like a saloon or
So it's not a good thing for the kings of Israel. Now, you shouldn't lie to a king. You shouldn't lie to anybody, really. So have a lie to the king is terrible. Then, verse number 15, yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Mercia. Speaking of the Lord, I will bring an heir. What is an heir?
It's a son.
Person that inherits. Anna?
It is Maurice Gaffin, looking it up in here.
All right.
And it says, see also Maurice, Maurice, right. So, and the inhabitant of Maurice, see, Micah the Maurice, right, see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Maurice, right.
In verse 4. Yeah, and see, in verse 12, it talks about being happy to God. And then it was, yeah, I was like, it was
those two more Asian cats. Okay. So it's got the marsh, yeah, so there's marsh, 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 different marshes that are combined
so
in that.
This must be some city.
Mm-hmm.
Where Micah's from.
All right.
Maybe I wrote
about it. Try to bring an heir on heaven of Marsha.
I can't.
Come to Agulam, the glory of Israel. That's where the heir will come, the inheritor. And then in verse 16, make thee bald. What would that indicate?
Didn't have any hair.
Oh, all right. Why would that
be? Shave your head.
All right. This was a
reproach. Hair.
What is it?
Pluck the hair.
Pluck the hair. The head. Oh, this was a reproach. Remember when the David sent some emissaries up north? They plucked the beards and cut off the garments, and they went back until the beards grew. So it's a shame. But you have people that are bald all over the place. They just shave themselves off. People running around. Many people today are bald. It's the end thing almost.
Yes, and
well, some people aren't doing it because it's the same thing. So
some things are purely bald. Yes, Anna?
Some people are not doing it by choice.
That's true. But others are just by choice. They just shave it off. Yes, now, dear Pastor Rainey, for example, he's got a disease in his head, and he doesn't have any hair because of that disease. But a lot of these young fellows, they just didn't think that's great.
My dad was bald.
Yeah.
He had hair in the back.
Right.
But he didn't
have hair on top. Make the bald. This is a case of either mourning or poldy. What does pole mean?
Weigh it out.
Shave, right? Weigh it out. Count out how heavy it is, pulling.
They had to sell it.
They had to pull their beards every year. What is it?
It's just trim clipper cut off. Trim clipper. Nothing about weighing it.
Well, what they had to do each year, they had to, they usually weighed their, I guess it was the, maybe it was the.
The
Nazarites. The they did something. And sometimes they waited, but it means to cut off. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absalom also got his hair in the tree and was caught in the fork of the tree. Some people thought it was his hair, but it says very clearly it's the fork of the tree caught him in the head. See, so.
Right. When I did my blessing, and I had about the hair and everything, and Julie said that it said the head. So today, that was one of the ones I did today. I had to rewrite it. Of his head get caught in there.
Yes,
I'm sure his hair got. It could be that his hair and his head all mixed up together. Got
yes. For thy delicate
shoulders. Thank you, Julie, for all your corrections.
Yes, Julie did a good job of that.
Keep wanting to write you. I tried to call you on your main phone, but you didn't have an answering machine on your main phone.
So then it says enlarge, you should always go to the cell phone. She's got an answering machine on the cell phone.
I didn't know she took it to work and I didn't want to bother at work.
Yeah, I think it's shut off so she'd be all right. Then it says enlarge that baldness as the eagle. You've heard of bald eagles, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah, but, so, but they're not really bald.
Eagles are not bald?
No.
What does it mean?
Well, do they look bald from a distance though? As opposed to other birds?
There's,
is it more flat on top?
One of the brands of legal is a bald eagle, am I right? There's all kinds of eagles.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means. Maybe a certain type of them is bald, others are not.
I mean, this doesn't really have like a to the crest.
Oh, Brianna pulls her feathers out. Maybe eagles pull their feathers out, too. And they're nesting.
Bald as an eagle.
Flying around.
For they're gone in captivity.
They keep their wing feathers, but maybe they pull their feathers like Brianna does.
I don't think so. I think they're happy out there.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to
bug
Dad.
Dad wants to be out flying around like other birds, but she's in there saying, hello, Mommy.
So they're going to captivity from the Eden. The people that with their sin and with their lying and their stealing are reprobates from the Lord. Any other comments on chapter 1? We'll just read a few verses of chapter 2 and then we'll close for tonight.
Any
other comments? It's difficult going, difficult sledding. It's the last part. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, at least, of chapter 2 of Micah. I call it devising and working evil. Beginning at verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they cover fields and take them by violence, and houses take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go hollingly, for this time is evil. All right, we're going to take that up next quarter. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Let us close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy words. Difficult as they are here in the book of Micah, we ask thee for guidance and direction in our lives. Bring us back to thy house on the Lord's Day. And go with us as we leave tonight. Give us safety. And tomorrow, and give us blessing as we minister thy word to others, as we live our lives to please thee. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus died for our sins, and that he wants us to live lives that would please him. Help us to do that, Lord, with all of our hearts, as long as we live upon this earth. We pray in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.